Welcome to the Holy Church of God's Global Outreach Center. We pray that this gospel message will reach its mark into the hearts of the hearers, glorify God, lift up Jesus, and save the lost, that it will comfort the afflicted and afflict the comfortable and fully furnish us with a heart for God.
I'll tell you this about fathers. It's important that you kind of understand where this message is going to take us today. Going to give you four quotations written by children about their dads when asked to write down some things about their dads. And there are good things and there are bad things, and there's the in-between stuff. Everyone didn't have a good relationship. Everybody didn't have Father Knows Best for your dad. Everybody didn't have John Walton. By the way, every father didn't have John Boy for a son either. Can you say amen? I heard one dad say one time, you know, I won't even go there anyway. I want to give you four quotations, though, written by young people and children about their fathers when asked to write down something about their dads. The first one says, quote, "My dad is a spiritual leader. He's been there when I've taken a fall. He's a great father to me. He's the father any kid would want. He's a God-given gift to me. He's my dad." Boy, that's nice, isn't it? Another young person wrote this. He said, "My dad still lives with us, but it seems as though he doesn't. He doesn't come to any of my games and shows little love for my mom. I think his job is more important to him than us." Another child wrote, "I want to thank my dad. Every time I've fallen, he's caught me. I love him very much. He taught me how to work hard and, most importantly, how to love God. He raised me to be a godly son, and I know that sometimes we fail and sometimes we both don't do what's right, but I've always known he loves me no matter what." Everybody say unconditional love. Unconditional. If you had that kind of dad, you're getting close to the Father's heart. Can you say amen? Now, you probably relate to, finally, dad who? I've never seen my dad. I've seen my dad three times in my whole life. He left my mom when she was pregnant with me, and he's never been around. I don't even think I care to see him anymore. So when we talk about a heavenly father and we talk about Father's Day, it's a bittersweet thing. But one thing I will tell you this morning is your raising, your family relationship, particularly with your father, is going to affect how you initially perceive God when he becomes your heavenly father. If you live with a strict disciplinarian, you're probably going to first perceive God and see everything with that through that lens. So every scripture, you're just going to see the discipline. You're not going to see his devoted heart to you very much. Amen? And you're going to try to dutifully obey him because that's how you respond to strict discipline. And God is a God that is not permissive. Amen? If he sees something in your life that's going to hurt your relationship with him, he's going to come down hard on it. If he sees something in my life that's going to open the door to the enemy to harm me, he's going to come down hard on it. And it's not because he doesn't love me. It's because he does, in fact, love me. Can you say amen? The chastening of the Lord is not something to hurt us or harm us. It's something to help us and to keep us. Amen? The Bible said if we're without it, we're really not his sons. We don't even belong to him because he only chastens those that he loves. Everybody say those that he loves. Christ said to a church that had become very wrong to the point of being spewed out of his mouth, and yet he said, "As many as I love, I do what? I rebuke and I chasten." His very words, stern words, were there to turn them around, to bring them back into fellowship with him. We serve a good dad today. Amen. How many has ever seen a cup say "World's Greatest Dad" or a cap that says "World's Greatest Dad"? Well, I'm going to tell you, your dad may be wonderful, but the world's greatest dad, amen, can only be known through Christ. Amen. The Heavenly Father is the world's greatest dad. And that's why Christians that really know him for who he is begin to rejoice in him. You ever seen Christians that just see him as the disciplinarian and they don't see his devoted heart? A lot of the Puritans were pure, but they pouted a lot about their purity. You didn't see a lot of joy in the Puritans. You ever seen their pictures? A lot of these people, I mean, a lot of these preachers of old were so, I hope I don't get that look on Sunday mornings. You may think I've got it when I get into this thing. Amen. But I really don't. Amen. I'm not going to nail you today. Amen. When I preach and mention sin, don't flinch. Don't think I'm eyeballing you. I'm not. God may do it, but I won't. Amen. Not on purpose anyway. God loves you today. And the people that have known Him in that balance of His holiness and His love, He's not a pushover and He's not permissive. Love is never permissive. But we do serve a good and gracious God today. Amen. Church can't even give you the right revelation unless it is filled with the love of God. You can speak the truth without love and do harm and not good. So the Bible says speak the truth in love. It tells me as an earthly parent to discipline, but to never provoke my children to wrath or justifiable anger, to always mingle discipline with love, and to never say through that discipline, you're not good enough. Amen? Or you're not worthy of my love. Or I want to hurt you because you've done wrong. God doesn't want to hurt us when we do wrong. He wants to help us. Amen? I want to read this scripture to you. I want to talk to you about the awesome privilege and power of being children of the Most High God. Of being able to save when you start to pray what Jesus taught us in the pattern prayer. It doesn't start with petition. It doesn't even start with worship. It doesn't even start with praise. It starts with an acknowledgement of a relationship with God through Jesus Christ. And when they said, Lord, teach us to pray, He began to unteach them first. He said, well, don't do it like the hypocrites do. Can you say, man? They love to stand and say these long prayers that are so eloquent. Don't even go there. They think they're going to be heard because of their much speaking. And that's not what gives you the ear of God. You know why you have the ear of God? What gets the ear of God? Is it your faith that gets His ear? No. You have His ear because you have His heart. He listens to you because He loves you. Amen? Faith is not what gets His ear. Amen. You've done God His ear because you've got His heart. David knew something about the Heavenly Father. And he said, before Christ even came, he knew something about God. And he said, I love the Lord because He hears my voice. I love the Lord because He hears my cry. I love the Lord because He hears my prayer. Turning His ear always to me. Can you say, man? Everybody say, turning His ear. Always to me. So you start your prayer with an acknowledgement that you have God's heart. That you don't just have your sins forgiven. You have God as your Heavenly Father. Amen? And He turns His ear to hear when you start calling out His name. When you come to the Father in the name of Jesus, He listens to what you have to say. It's because He loves you. It's because He loves you. Look at 1 John 3, 1 and 2. Behold what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew Him not. See, no one's going to understand this relationship you have with the Father. Amen. The old timers used to say of so many things of the Spirit, amen, it's better felt than told. Until you experience salvation, until you're born again, and until you come to a revelation of who God really is and how He really feels about you, until you quit perceiving God as a parent that you had a bad experience with. I had a preacher one time, a friend of mine. Actually, he was my dad's pastor, my pastor. I was healed of leukemia because he opened a church here in Tampa and stood true to God for many years. And he fell away from the Lord. And when he fell away from the Lord, he felt like God didn't love him. Not only God didn't love him anymore, but God didn't even like him anymore. And he gave up on God and gave up on himself. And he said, the reason was my initial perception, and he'd been in a denomination, a Pentecostal denomination for years. He'd went to learn a lot it was a Church of God. He went, I think, to Lee College. That's where he got his theological background and education. And so he learned a lot about God theologically, but he didn't know much about God experientially. And by the way, if you want to know something about God, you're going to have to begin to get a clear revelation of Jesus. Because they said to Jesus, show us the Father. You're always talking about Him. We want to see Him. And Jesus said, have you been with me this long and you say you haven't seen the Father? He said, when you've seen me, you've seen the Father. If you want to know what a God who cannot be approached, who dwells in unapproachable light, a God who is a spirit, who doesn't take human form, but a God who is a person, who has a character and a nature, all of that is personified in Jesus Christ. The Bible actually called him the express image of God. In other words, what God would be if he were a man. Incarnate means, amen, becoming flesh. God becoming flesh. That's why they call his name Emmanuel, which means what? God with us. God himself with us in human form. And that is Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Isn't that incredible that God would come into this world and take on human form so that we could look upon him. Hallelujah. And see his glory in his virtues. Amen. The Bible said we're a holy generation. We're a chosen generation. We're a royal priesthood. Amen. We're a holy nation. We're a peculiar people. And somebody that's around us, it said the world don't see him and they don't know him. So when they see us worshiping like that, they think it's peculiar. Amen. If we were Bucks fans down in the arena in Raymond James Stadium and our team just made a touchdown and we jumped and screamed and hollered and shouted till we were hoarse, no one would think we were nuts. They only think you're nuts when you do that in church. Could you say amen? It's okay to be a fan of football. Amen. It's okay to be a fan of some current group in the pop world. I mean, you can leave the volume off of TV, and if they scan an audience and you're surfing channels, and I remember one time Elton John was playing in Australia, and he was singing a song about Marilyn Monroe. What is it? You know, Candle in the Wind. And with the volume off, you'd swear it was a worship service. Everybody had little candle-like things and Bics and lighters, and they were all, their arms were going back like that. There's some churches won't even let you do that. I mean, not Bic lighters, but, you know, your hands up. Can you say that? If everybody has a Bic lighter in here, we're going to pray. God loves you anyway. I want you to know that. But everyone ought not have a big... Anyway, moving right along. What is the health food craze? These vitamins that you take that makes you lose from 400 pounds to 98? Amen. I'm serious. I mean, you ever seen these ads? I mean, here's a person clearly that's went from a 25 to 20 to a 12. But they're claiming that they're... Now I wear a 6. I thought, do you realize how little a 6 is? Have you ever seen a 6? Have you ever seen these people that claim they wear a 6 or a 5? Amen. You know what I mean? I mean, I see they did. They made great strides, but don't try to sell me on a 5 or a 6. I mean, you know. But anyway, you tune in, and these people are so excited they lost weight. They're so excited. What is this thing that used to be so big? They used to have huge conventions. Thousands of people would attend, and there was testimonies being given. It looked like a worship service a lot. I mean, with the sound off, people are walking up to a microphone, saying something in the microphone. Everybody's coming off their feet, shouting in the crowd, and come to find out this person who weighed 400 pounds now weighs a trim, slim 175 pounds and has abs and muscles where I don't even have places. Can you say amen? And they're standing up, and they're so excited, and everybody's so excited for them. But you translate that over into a relationship with God, that's fanatical. That's emotionalism. We only get emotional about happy things, joyous things, extraordinary things, not churchy stuff. Don't you know that's stuffy? That's where you walk with this God who's up there in the universe who's squinting down saying, hey, cut that out. Can you say amen? We serve a holy God. He does chastise and he will judge. But I want you to know through Christ, we have come into a relationship whereby we can say to the Creator of the universe, Abba, Father. And if that isn't shouting ground, I don't know what is. And if that doesn't give me the right, amen, to shout and to dance and to holler, woo! I don't know what does. Amen. What gives you the right to become emotional? What would make you emotional? There's a Super Bowl lottery and some people win it. It's hard to be nonchalant when you suddenly $150 million richer. Can you say amen? If you are nonchalant, let me tell you something. You don't deserve it. You do not deserve it. I don't care how spiritual you are this morning. If someone wrote you a check for $150 million and you were nonchalant, I worked for Tampa Electric. That's where I first heard the term nonchalant, was with Tampa Electric. Amen. I was 21 years old, and I was new on a line crew, and I'd never seen the power of that electricity, what it could do. I didn't know it could crystallize dirt, but in my five-year experience with them on a line crew, amen, I saw it crystallize dirt. I was almost killed a couple of times, and we didn't report all of that because it was some safety issues that we didn't want to get into, but I almost lost my life on a couple of different occasions. One of them, I was working with a couple of guys up a pole, and I was underneath pulling stuff up to them. And they cross-phased. They hit the bucket, and it pushed one of the live lines into another live line. And when it did, it created this ball of white fire and this sound that just shook the ground. And both of them instinctively dropped into their buckets, these insulated buckets, to get away from that. And they had singed eyebrows. They had their hats on, so it didn't singe their hair, but it singed their eyebrows. And they just dropped into those buckets. And then after that big flash, that big ball of white fire and that earth-shaking sound, then there was dead silence because we won't know, has anybody heard it? Everybody's just stunned, and for a moment we're just immobile, and we're just standing there in stunned silence. And after that great noise and that great ball of fire, we were stunned by it all. And we're just standing stunned silence. And we see these two heads coming slowly out of these buckets with, and these eyes big as saucers. And the one guy's looking at the other to see if he's hurt, and the other looking at him to see if he's hurt. And they know they did something wrong to create this. And the one looked over at the other in this dead silence. You could hear him clearly. Just act nonchalant. Honey, there's some things that it's very difficult to just act nonchalant. And I'm afraid the church of the 21st century is real good at trying to be nonchalant in a service where we should be full of the joy of Jesus Christ. Amen. I'm not advocating mere emotionalism, but I'm telling you, if anybody on the face of the planet has a reason to shout to high heaven, it's the people that have been redeemed by the blood of Jesus who can now call God their heavenly Father. Hallelujah. Amen and amen. Glory to God. Even in Pentecostal circles, maybe we pushed the envelope. Maybe we went overboard. Maybe we even crossed the line. But in our fear of wildfire, we're ending up with almost no fire. Amen. We used to be marked not by just emotionalism, but a relationship with God that was real, made real by a manifest presence. There was more than a preacher and a praise team. There was a presence when you came to church. God is omnipresent means that theologically and spiritually, God is everywhere. Where can I go from thy spirit, David said. There's nowhere I can go where you're not. He stood looking out over the Mediterranean when he wrote the great psalm, and he said, if I take the wings of the morning and fly to the uttermost part of the sea, behold, you're there. If I make my bed in hell, even there, your hand will uphold me. There's no place I can go where God is not. That's omnipresence. It means He's everywhere. He's a spirit. But manifest presence is different. That means in a place, in time, God reveals Himself. And when two or more of us gather together, there's supposed to be a manifest presence. Amen. And we're doing so good without it, we think we don't even need it anymore. The preacher is so eloquent. The choir is hitting the high notes and everything is going off like a well-oiled machine. This is not about religious machinery. This is about a genuine, bona fide relationship with a God that we have been brought to by grace that we can call Abba, Father. If you want to wonder about that word Abba, it was only used by Jesus and could only be used by Christ because it's an Aramaic word, Abba is. Romans tells us that through this new relationship we have with God, that we can cry, Abba, Father. Something that only a bona fide son could cry. Can you say amen? And Jesus only used the term, amen, when He needed the care, the watch care, the concern, the tenderness of His Father around His life. If a dad is going to be like God, he's going to have to be like velvet-covered steel. Everybody say velvet-covered steel. God is not going to bend on His holiness. He's not going to lower His standards. Love is never permissive. But I want you to know love is intact even when we are chastened and corrected. Amen. That's why the Bible said, don't you faint when you're chastened by Him. Amen. Because your fathers did it because, I'm going to paraphrase here, because you got on their nerves. They did it a lot of times because you made them mad. He does it for our good. He does it because He loves us. And He does it to prove that we belong to Him. And I love Him for it in retrospect. For the present, no chastening is joyous. So don't tell me that you love it. Amen. Until it's over and you see the result, look back on it and say, thank you, God. Amen. Thank you, God. Thank you for not letting me go on like I was going. Thank you for whatever interrupted my downward spiral. Thank you, Lord. Thank you that the prodigal son came to want. Thank you that he went through that hardship in order to come back to his father's house so he could be embraced and restored. Thank you for being such a good father. Well, what kind of love is this? Well, it's the kind of love that absolutely should be jaw-dropping. Jesus, when he prayed, knowing what he was going to go through, and not just the physical suffering, but the abandonment of God, the turning of God's back, the aloneness on the cross. He said, if there's any other way, let this cup pass from me, but not what I will, but your will be done. The Bible said when he went into that place of prayer, his soul was sorrowful unto death. He needed more than just a faith formula. He needed a relationship with a God that could hold him close to himself and prepare him for what was ahead. And even when he didn't feel him, he would know his eyes still on him. He still has his heart. Even when he took our sins and God could not manifest his presence and help him through the comforter, amen, he still would know, amen, from that great hug he received in the garden, amen, that his father would not ultimately leave him in that condition. And so he's praying this prayer, and he prefaces his prayer. He said, Abba, Father, if there be any other way. Only Jesus could say that. Because Abba was an Aramaic word used in his time among the people. And it was, you can see why Abba would be the first words of infants when they recognized their father. They would look up. And when they finally realized, this is the voice I heard, and now they know that things they didn't know then, that they know their daddy and their mama because of the voices they hear while still in the womb. Isn't that incredible? So talk to that baby. Amen. Praise God, because when that baby comes out into this world, it's going to be familiar with the voice that it has heard in the very womb. And when it recognizes who its father is, it doesn't say, Father. It says, Dad, Dad. And Dad, Dad goes to Daddy. Amen. And Papa. Two syllables. Easy to learn. Abba was the Aramaic Dada. Exact meaning. The first words formed by infants when they recognize who their dad is Abba. And what did Jesus say in that intimate relationship with his father where he needed that intimacy? He prefaced his prayer by saying, Abba, Father. It wasn't just faith. It was a relationship with his father. Can you say, man? You've got to understand faith can become a sterile, independent thing apart from that relationship. And faith is never to be independent from a real, genuine, authentic relationship with God. I see Christians that I know are not enjoying their life with God. How do you know, Brother Bimbo? Because in His presence is fullness of joy. And at His right hand there's pleasure forevermore. David said, I love Him because He bends down and listens when I pray. He takes that kind of time. He shows that kind of love and devotion. I'm loving Him back because He loves me this much. Hallelujah. So what kind of love is this? And the New Testament says, if you're a Christian, from day one, you are able to cry unto Him, Abba, Father. That's how saved you are. That's how sanctified you are. That's how holy He has made you. That's the relationship privilege that He's given you to pray like Jesus prayed in a relationship like Jesus had. Everybody say the Lord's Prayer. Actually, the Lord's Prayer is commonly known in Matthew chapter 6, I believe 33, is really Jesus' pattern for us. The Lord's Prayer before He left this planet is in John 17. Would you like to hear part of the Lord's Prayer for us? He said, Father, you know how I'm in you, and you're in me. I want them, everyone that believes, to be in us like I'm in you and you're in me. That's what I want. I want them to enjoy the same relationship. And listen, to top it off, everybody say the icing on the cake. Are you ready for it? He said, Lord, Father, I want you to love them with the same love where you have loved me. Can you say amen? You know there's nothing divine about us. We're the branch. He's divine. Can you say amen? There's nothing holy in and of ourselves. We're not worthy. That's why Paul, amen, is saying this the way he's saying it. Or John, rather, 1 John, the letter in 1 John says, what manner of love is this? What kind of love is this that brings this kind of relationship and privilege? What kind of love provides this kind of plan of salvation that not just saves us from hell and doesn't just take us to heaven, but makes us the sons of God? Can you say amen? Woo! I'm tempted to sanctify an old song from the 70s and use it for God. What kind of love is this that makes me want to jump and shout? I want to know. What kind of love is this that turns my whole life inside out? There's more to that song. I've forgotten it. It's all I can sanctify anyway. My wife said, good. And Sean said, hallelujah. And I'm going to pray for both of them after the service. God is so good. I couldn't find a Christian station on the way to preach in Merritt Island. I was on the Beeline Expressway, and this was years ago, and I couldn't find somewhere out on the Beeline. I got between stations, and I didn't have a tape player back then or a CD player. This is a long time ago. This is back during the 8-track days. Anyway, it was a long time ago. And 8-track is a long time. I had reel-to-reel before there was 8-track, buddy. Amen. I go way back. Used to put them on all my radio broadcasts on reel-to-reel and send those reels out. And I remember going down the Beeline Expressway, and I thought, boy, I just want to worship God. I was going across the channels, and I heard a song, an old pop song, and it came up, and I sanctified it for Jesus, began to sing it unto the Lord. Amen. And I thought, of God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in the time of trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, though the mountains be removed and cast into the midst of the sea. And I'm driving along, and a song comes on while that thought's in my mind, and it says, when the sky we look upon should tumble and fall, and all the mountains, isn't that a coinkadink? Can you say amen? Suddenly crumble to the sea. No, I won't be afraid. No, I won't shed one tear just as long as you stand. I thought, oh, God, that's for you. I'm going to sanctify this right now. This ain't about no great woman in a red dress. Can you say amen? This is about God in a white robe. I'm going to take it and use it for you. Can you say amen? Ain't no woman in the world, amen, amen, to be a comfort to me with the sky falling, the mountains falling into the sea. Come on, let's get real. You may be a hot tamale, but it ain't going to help when the mountains are crumbling into the sea. Amen. You need a God you can lean on. You wonder why we jump and shout. We got a God we can call on. Though the mountains be removed and cast into the sea, we can stand in confidence and say, I got a Father in heaven. Hallelujah. He rules the universe and He watches over me. Glory to God. What manner of love has the Father bestowed upon us that we should be called? By the way, this word in the Greek, called, doesn't mean to be in name only, just given a title. It means to become something. Hallelujah. We're not called sons as a title. We are sons because of what Jesus has done at the cross. And because of that, the world knoweth us not. They don't get it. I didn't get it before I became a Christian. My dad drugged me to church all my life. Didn't drug me and take me. He dragged me. You understand? Amen? There's two reasons I went when I was a teenager. Girls and milkshakes. Because after church, we got a milkshake. My reward for sitting through it was a milkshake. And I found out that there were girls there. The night I came to Christ, I just got a note from a girl. Wow. A note from a girl in church. Paying no attention to the preaching. Look, watching the clock, wanting the milkshake. And now I get this note from this girl. And it's not the girl that likes me. It's a friend of the girl that likes me telling me that the girl likes me. And it says, so-and-so likes you. And I thought, whoo. That was BP. That was before Pamela. It's puppy love back then. And so here I am saying, wow, I got a potential girlfriend. Ain't never had one of them. There's a potential girlfriend right there. Somebody likes me. So end of the service comes and I'm standing with my chest out, trying to be bigger than I was, like my bird when he's intimidated. Thinking about puppy love and milkshakes. And as a Pentecostal service often does, it cranked up again. Three women walked to the piano because conviction came. I'd never experienced that in the whole of my life. You could have told me about it, theologically explained it. Amen. A Bible professor could give me all of the theological understanding of conviction. But the old timers are right. It's better felt than telt. And when it came, I forgot about the milkshake. I forgot about the puppy love. I forgot about everything else. I felt lost in need of a Savior. And I felt loved. Hallelujah. And embraced by that love. Glory to God. Amen. And I stood there and I began to tremble and I began to shake all over. Amen. And suddenly this God they had sung about, this God they had preached about, amen, this God this church was built to honor, this God became real. And at first I knew I need to be right with Him. I need my sins forgiven. I need my soul saved. I'm 12 years old and I'm trembling in the presence of God. And they begin to sing a song, and it was that drawing, wooing that had already begun. They sung in perfect harmony under the anointing. Softly and tenderly, Jesus is calling. Calling for you and for me. Earnestly, tenderly, Jesus is calling. Calling for you and for me. And then the chorus, come home. Come home. Ye who are weary, come home. And I thought, I'm weary. I'm 12 years old, but I'm weary. And I need what is being offered here. And I ran to come to know Jesus as my personal Savior. My mom and dad divorced and I fell away and I forgot. It became like a dream. But at 21 going on 22, the call came back. And when it came back, it took this time. Halabati. That's not to say He didn't save me the first time. It's just that I didn't understand nor appreciate nor appropriate what salvation really means. I knew there was a God in heaven that had forgiven me, but I didn't know there was a Father who loved me. But as I come to know the Father, I came to know the Father. Listen, you have to get, this may sound strange and unusual to your ears, but you must go beyond the cross. You must go beyond Jesus dying on the cross. You must see the heart of the Father. You must see the love that sent Him. Can you say amen? You got to see that. You got to dig deeper than just Jesus dying for you and look into the heart of a God that gave His Son for you. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten. Honey, it would be hard for me to take my son in their innocent stage. Let's take that 8-year-old. Let's take him out to a cross. Let's beat him half to death. And let the Father love the world enough that had done him wrong and done me wrong to stand back and watch that happen to him and do nothing because he loves so much. That's how much he loves. I can't imagine watching him nail my son to a tree after beating him half to death and let him die crying out, Father, why'd you leave me? The very next time you address me as Father, remember, I am Abba, Father. And that you have all my love. And there's nothing you can do to be loved anymore than I loved you while you were yet in your sins and sent my Son to save you, saith the Lord. So many times we miss that. We miss it. Let me finish with this. Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not because it knew him not. Beloved, now we are the sons of God. And it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. In John Gill's exposition of the Bible, his comment on 1 John 3:1, behold, what manner of love is this? See, take notice, consider, look by faith with wonder and astonishment, and observe how great a favor, what an instance of matchless love, and what a wonderful blessing of grace. Can you say amen to that? Everybody say, what a wonderful blessing of grace. Commenting on John chapter 10, verse 14 and verse 27, Jesus says, I'm the good shepherd and know my sheep and am known of mine. My sheep hear my voice and I know them. Also says in Exodus 33, where we've been studying, 17, you found favor, God told Moses, in my sight, and I've known you by name. Amen. Isn't that incredible? J.I. Packer wrote, what matters supremely is not in the last analysis the fact that I know God, but the larger fact which underlies it, the fact that He knows me. Just think of that marvelous fact, Packer continues, and I quote, I'm craven on the palms of His hands. I'm never out of His mind. All my knowledge of Him depends on His sustained initiative in knowing me. I know Him because He first knew me and continues to know me. He knows me as a friend, one who loves me, and there's no moment when His eye is off me or His attention distracted from me, and no moment, therefore, when His care falters. This is a momentous knowledge. This is unspeakable comfort, the sort of comfort that energizes in knowing that God is constantly taking knowledge of me in love and watching over me for my good. There is tremendous relief in knowing that His love to me is utterly realistic, based at every point on prior knowledge of the worst about me, so that no discovery can now disillusion Him about me. Somebody say, thank the Lord. That's good preaching. Amen. Hallelujah. In the way I'm often disillusioned about myself, nothing can quench His determination to bless me. He sees all the twisted things about my fellow men do not see, and I'm glad. And He sees more corruption in me than that which I see in myself, which in all conscience is enough. There is, however, equally great incentive to worship and love God in thought, and that for some unfathomable reason, He wants me as His friend and desires to be my friend and has given His Son to die for me in order to realize this purpose. Not merely that we know God, but that He knows us. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. God is pitching. Question is, are you catching? I'm going to show you a wrong concept of God. Chuck Swindoll tells this wonderful true story. Put down by a son who always tried to measure up to his father's expectation in order to have his love and acceptance. Oh, look, Daddy. I catched it. That's my boy, the father says. Now get ready. Here comes another. Make me proud and catch this one too. You see the pressure? Look, Daddy, I'm only 8 years old and I can throw faster than anyone in the league. But your batting stinks, Tiger. Can't play in the big leagues if you can't hit. Look, Dad, I'm 16 and already I've made the varsity team. You better do a little less bragging and a little more practicing on your defense. It still needs a lot of work. Look, Father, I'm 35 and the company has made me a vice president. Maybe someday you'll start your own business like your old man. Then you'll really feel a sense of accomplishment. Look at me, Bill. See, it's no more dad or father anymore. Look at me, Bill. I'm 40, successful, well-respected in the community. I have a wonderful wife and family. Aren't you proud of me now, Dad? All my life, it seems, I've caught everything but the one prize I wanted most, your approval. Can't you say it, Dad? Is it too much to ask for? Just once, I'd like to know that feeling. Every child should have a being loved unconditionally. I'd like for you to put your arm around my shoulders and instead of telling me I'm not good enough, tell me that in your eyes, I'm already a winner and will always be no matter what. Look at me, Daddy. I'm all grown up, but in my heart still lives a little boy who yearns for his father's love. Won't you pitch me the words I've waited for all my life? I'll catch them, Father. I promise. You know, every time you open your Bible, God is pitching you the words that you've longed for all your life. Paul said, in whom he has made us accepted in the beloved. He put us in Christ so God could accept us as he accepts Christ. It's incredible. What manner of love is this? What manner? Everybody say that. What manner? What kind of love is this? What kind of love is this? Listen to this. Gary Smalley and John Trent, in closing, tell a true story in their book, The Blessing. During the first day of an introductory speech class, the teacher was going around the room having students introduce themselves. Each student was to respond to questions. Here's the two questions. What do I like about myself and what I don't like about myself? That's pretty intimate stuff to open up in public about. Nearly hiding at the back of the room was Dorothy. Her long red hair hung down around her face, almost obscuring it from view. When it was Dorothy's turn to introduce herself, there was only silence in the room. Thinking perhaps she had not heard the question, the teacher moved his chair over near hers and gently repeated the question. Again, there was only silence. Finally, with a deep sigh, Dorothy sat up in her chair, pulled back her hair, and in the process revealed her face. Covering nearly all of one side of her face was a large, irregularly shaped birthmark, nearly as red as her hair. That, she said, should show you what I don't like about myself. Moved with compassion, this godly professor leaned over, gave her a hug, and then he kissed her on the cheek where the birthmark was and said, "That's okay, honey. God and I still think you're beautiful." That's a good theology professor. God and I still think you're beautiful. Dorothy cried uncontrollably for almost 20 minutes. When she finally could talk, she dabbed the tears from her eyes and she said to the professor, "I've wanted so much for someone to hug me and say what you said. Why couldn't my parents do that? My mother won't even touch my face." You know what we can do if we ever discover it, where we can accept it in our own life? We can go out and begin to touch some people's faces that nobody else wants to touch and say, "God wants you for his very own. He loves you. He gave his son for you." But you can't do that, and I can't do it, unless I start accepting it in my own life first. It begins with me. Not telling them, but it begins with acceptance. 1 John's a beautiful scripture about the love of God. It says, we have known. That's by revelation, and we have believed. You have to accept anything by revelation, by faith. The love that God has for us, because God is love. And then it says, he that feareth is not perfected in love. And then it says something very phenomenal. Fear hath torment. And the word torment there is used only one time in the entire Greek New Testament this way. Because it's the word for penal imprisonment. Being put in a jail and punished for a crime. Fear puts you in a prison and holds you behind locked doors. Love opens those doors, breaks those bonds, and sets you free. Fear hath torment. But perfect love casts out all fear. And it's not your perfect love for Christ that does that. It's His perfect love for you. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. The fear of failure is gone. You can get out of the boat and walk on the Word, knowing full well, even if you begin to sink and cry out, perfect love will pick you up. Isn't that incredible about God? Will you stand to your feet? It's Father's Day. Amen. Let's play that song of praise. I'm going to ask a question while this song is playing. Is there anyone in this room that doesn't know Christ that would like to know Him today and come to know a Heavenly Father? Anyone in this room that needs to know Him? Anyone in this room? Anyone in this room? Anyone in this room that wants to come back to Him? That may be like me at 12 that fell away because I didn't fully appreciate and understand, but oh, how powerful it was to come home to the Father's house. It's always about going back to the Father's house. Just bring it right up. Let's just praise. Bring that right on up. Fill this room. Bring it right up. Let's worship for just a few moments. Let it sink in today. God is pitching. Will you catch it? Will you take it?
Before even time began,
let's love Him back.
My life was in
Heavenly
His
Father.
Hand.
Love you.
He knows my name. He knows my every thought.
You want to come this morning? You come. Feel free to come.
That fall.
God is here. The Spirit of God is here.
And hears
Hallelujah.
Me when let's all sing. I have a Father.
Sing it to me.
He calls me His own.
Calls me His very own.
He'll never
come unto me, ye that are burdened, ye that are heavy laden. Come unto me and find rest for your soul. Come unto me, ye that feel rejected and dejected, ye that can never feel strong enough or good enough. Yea, I say unto thee again, come unto me, ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in spirit, and you will find rest for your soul. Come rest in me, and I will lift you up. Come rest in me, and I will establish your goings. Come rest in my love, and the enemy will do you no harm, saith the Lord. Somebody give him praise today. This is beginning with nevertheless. Nevertheless, Psalms chapter 89, nevertheless. Nevertheless, my loving kindness I will not utterly take from him, nor suffer my faithfulness to fail. My covenant will I not break, nor alter the thing that is gone out of my lips. Once I have sworn in my holiness that I will not lie unto David. His seed shall endure forever, his throne as the sun before me. I will not take my loving kindness. I will not utterly take it from him. I want you to know when Jesus was on the cross, God was in covenant of love. And on the third day, that love raised him up. That power came. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I will not suffer my Holy One to see corruption. His body will not lay in the ground. It will not be corrupted. Death will not win. Death will not win. Death will not win. My love will prevail. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. What a day this has been. What a servant. What a Father's Day. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to the Lamb. Glory to the Lamb. Glory to the Lamb. Glory to the Lamb. Shikorobohosata. There's such a presence here. But they're coming for prayer. Let that play in the background. Maybe the first one, I have a father. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. You know, they used to give us ice cream when that happened. Give you a big dish because it soothed your throat. One thing I know that these children are learning here through their parents and through this church, that they have a Father in heaven. They don't want to take trips without him. Amen. They don't want to do anything without him. They want his hand upon them. So, Father, we're praying for our sister. Lord, that she will have a deep consciousness of your presence with her. And Father, that your grace and peace would be upon her and overshadow her in the name of Jesus and for the glory of God. Let her learn right now at this tender age, hallelujah, how wonderful and powerful it is to have a Father who is in heaven. In the name of Jesus, Father. And let this great grace that covers her be remembered as she grows into a young woman. Hallelujah. All the days of her life. Hallelujah. Amen and amen. Praise the Lord. Father, we praise you today. Hallelujah. Teach your children the loving kindness of the Lord, the loving kindness that sent a Savior, the loving kindness that overshadows, the loving kindness that keeps in safety and keeps from fear, the loving kindness that brings peace. Teach it to your children that they may know me as I truly am, saith the Lord. Somebody give him praise today. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Father, we just praise you today. We thank you today. We thank you today. Yeah. We thank you today. Hallelujah. Hey, man, turn around and shake somebody's hand as you dismiss, because if we don't, we'll not ever get gone. Amen. And say, you've got the world's greatest dad. Will you do that? Tell him, you got the world's greatest dad today.